certainly thankful for the prayer tonight. Lord bless Brother Mike with the words that he had. I know they came from the Lord. And I've enjoyed the meeting thus far. I just feel the wonderful presence of the Lord, and being among those that you love, among God's people. We know that we have passed from death and unto life because we love the brethren. And we love the brethren because we love the Lord. We love the Lord because he first loved us. I love the way it tells us there in 1 John, around chapters 4 and 5, how the love of God works. That God is love, and he's the one who first gives us love to him because of his love towards us. And those that love God cannot help but love those that have begotten of God, because we have the same Heavenly Father. We have the same elder brother. The same Spirit of grace works in our hearts. And in the inner man, which is the new creature that we're born from above, and that working of God's grace in us, we have a kinship in the Lord that, despite what the old flesh gets in the way from time to time, it's still going to be there and really operates in perfection. What God put in you is perfect. It sinneth not. We never get to the place as a full being while we're here in this world where we sin not, but the spiritual man, the inner man, sinneth not. The outer man, the flesh, where we have to contend and battle, and that's where the warfare takes place, the warfare that goes on between the spirit and the flesh, the inner man that's born of God and the outer man. Tonight, we're to battle, we're to fight that fight. We're to wear the armor of God. We're to do the very best we can to keep this old man under subjection and draw close and draw nigh in fellowship to the Lord. And without grace, we would not be able to do that. But because of his grace is sufficient. We are able to be more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ. My mind's been all over the place tonight. I guess you probably could tell that from the preliminary remarks and some of those things. And I hope it's been that which the Lord's focused and made of some benefit to you. Been looking this afternoon at the 62nd Psalm. I'm not going there, but I will give it to you to read because it's so good. The Psalm 62 just lays out David's confession of faith, of how he was trusting in the Lord. And I believe that was in difficult times that he was trusting in the Lord. And then he talks to himself about how he needs to trust in the Lord. So I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm leaning on the Lord. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my help. But then I need to speak to myself to do that ongoing. Can you relate to that? But I need to continue to tell myself to keep on doing what the Lord has given me the blessing to do. And then he turns and tells the people to trust in the Lord. In other words, I've been trusting in the Lord, leaning upon the Lord, and now I need to talk to myself about trusting and leaning upon the Lord, and now I want to tell all of you to trust in him at all times. Trust in him. To pour out your soul to him. You can lean upon him. And he also talks about how the world scoffs and makes light of that, and constantly bombards us with ideas and thoughts that would lead us contrary to leaning and trusting on the Lord. This world is not a friend to the little child of grace, as the hymn writer said, to help us on to God. It is a war. We're fighting a warfare with the men of the world. We also fight a warfare with the flesh. We also fight a warfare with the devil. And it seems like our adversaries, the flesh and the devil and the men of this world and what we have going on, we're certainly going to be overcome, but tonight, because of Jesus, and because he was able to do what he did, and did do it, and completed it, he gives us strength to be able to fight the battle. He tells us to be strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might. that's where we have to be tonight. I have a passage of scripture that's on my mind in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, that I've spoken on several times. I imagine mentioned it here several times as well recently, but I've used it as a text recently also. Sometimes I feel a little hesitant about using a text that I use somewhere else. I don't want to just go and become, but I need to do better in the sense of whatever the Lord lays on my mind and my heart, that's what I need to go with. So y'all pray with me tonight and pray for me. And Brother Mike mentioned that in his prayer. Y'all hear? He said, pray for me that I would go and deliver what the Lord would have. I needed that. You know, the Lord knew I needed that, to deliver what I would have on my mind, no matter how many times I might have said the same thing over and over. If the Lord would bless, we could take one passage of scripture and preach on it all year long. And if the Lord, the depth of it is such, and the width of it, and the breadth of it, and the height of it is such, that we would never exhaust it if the Lord would bless us. We want to follow the leadership of the Lord. That's what we believe, the necessity of doing that. So let's look for a little while at Revelation chapter 3, and you pray for me that I will follow the lead of the leadership of the Lord. He's writing here by inspiration of God. John the Apostle is writing the words of what the Lord Jesus Christ had given him to write. The angel had given it to John. The Lord Jesus Christ is the revelation of Jesus Christ given to John, given to the angel to give unto John. And here he's writing one of the letters to one of the seven churches of Asia. Those were literal churches that existed in that day and that time. And this is one of them, the last of one that he writes to, and it's the church of Laodicea. It's the church that's in the community of Laodicea. It's also written to the church that's in the community of Front Royal tonight. It's written to Little Happy Creek Church, and it's written to every other church of the Lord Jesus Christ that has ever existed down through time and will ever exist in this world as part of the written word of God that's given to us for our instruction and for our guide and for our direction. And the lessons that were given here to those individual churches are given to us tonight. And so consider this a letter from the Lord Jesus Christ to us. That's good, isn't it? That the Lord Jesus Christ would write us a letter. And the letter here for them, in most of these letters he gave them some commendations about things that were going right, and then some instruction about things that weren't going right, and then he told them, you need to repent, you need to do, these are some things that you need to do. You know, that's true of every church. There are things, or almost every church, there are things that can be commended that the Lord has done, and the honor and the glory goes to the Lord. I'm thankful that you are here tonight. Certainly thankful that we're here. But as sure as we're here, there are some other things that we need to hear about. Where we need some correction and some instruction and some growth. And that's laid out in God's Word. And when you put all of these letters together and the Bible together, you have that which truly furnishes us unto all work. Isn't it good to know tonight you can go to the Word of God and get what you need? And that doesn't just happen once in a while. It happens every time we go by faith, following the leadership of the Spirit, and look to the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ will provide for us tonight just exactly what we need. And he knows what we need better than we know what to ask for. He says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, that is the church in Laodicea, he says, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now that is describing the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the God, the unchanging God of truth. He is the God who was verily the Word. He is the Word that was with God, who verily was God. He's the Word that came manifest in the flesh. He is the living Word. Here in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 14, he says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. The reason he calls him the beginning of creation of God is because by him were all things made, And without him was not anything made that was made. He tells us that in John chapter 1 and verse, the first couple of verses there in John chapter 1. He also tells us in Colossians that it's not only he created all things, but he is by his power, all things consist. So the one that we're talking to tonight is the one who has all power. Tonight we don't serve a weak God, a little God. We serve the Jesus of the Bible, who is the one who walked in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, which we are told in the first chapter that the seven golden candlesticks are the churches. And he's also the one who held the stars in his right hand, which were the ministers of the churches, the angels of the churches. And he's writing here to the angel or the minister of the church to tell them the things that they needed to know. And Jesus Christ is the one we look to tonight for what we need to know. That's why we're to preach the word and be instant in season and out of season to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Because this Bible is where we go to get the words of Jesus. We don't go into some closet and close the door and meditate and just think, and the Lord just fills our head with all kinds of things. Although the Lord does move in our lives that way, we're to take the Word of God and try the spirits to see whether they be of God or they are not. That's why we can't just follow any teaching, any preaching, anyone who says this is the spiritual truth. We must, as I preach to you tonight, you take the Word of God and you use it as that which guides you to whether what I'm saying is the truth or not. And I believe through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Lord will do that. Don't you? I believe if we look to the Lord tonight, and we lean upon Him, and we take His Word as our guide, and we can count on these Bibles that we have before us, that He's not only given to us, but He's kept and He's preserved for us, and that which is written to let us know about our God. It doesn't teach us to know God. He does that by the immediate work of the operation of the Holy Spirit in your heart. And they all shall know me from the least to the greatest. There's not one that's not going to know Him in that way, whether they ever see a Bible or not. But this Bible will tell you about Him who gives you life in your heart. The Bible doesn't give you life, but it sure does shine the light in your life that you need. And the church, every church needs that light as we come. He says unto them, I'm the Amen, the faithful and true witness, which means you can count on what He says, and everything that He says is the truth. And where do I find what He says? I read it in His Word. I see it in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Jesus, out of His own mouth, showed that the Old Testament testified of Him. Remember when He walked on the road of Emmaus with the two brethren along the way, and He read to them from the prophets and from the law and from the Psalms the things concerning Himself. I'd have loved to have heard that sermon, wouldn't you? As He walked there and He took the Word of God and He laid it out to them as they walked along. They got the heartburn from that sermon. It wasn't a heartburn that you get from eating too much. It's a heartburn that you get when you fear the Lord, sit down with you in a meeting, and you sit with Him, and you feed with Him, and you eat with Him, and you have fellowship with Him, and you feel like you belong to Him because you do. And He allows you to know it in your heart and in your conscience. That's what they think. They started the trip heartbroken, going along the way like we do, murmuring and saying, "Oh, woe is me." But by the time they got to the end, they had turned around and gone back to the disciples because they had some news they wanted to say. "We've walked with Him. We've seen Him." And while they were there, even telling the disciples, Jesus comes into the room and shows Himself, shows His hands and His feet, shows what He did for them. And tonight, He loves us tonight enough to write this letter to us. He loved this church enough to write this letter to them, and He shows that to us tonight. He says, "I know thy works." You'll find that in every one of the letters. I know you've heard that before, but you're going to hear it again. In every one of those letters, in all seven times, you can read from chapter 2 all the way through to the end of chapter 3. and you'll find seven letters written to seven churches, and in every one of those letters that he wrote to the seven churches, he says these words, I know thy works. The word thy is a singular pronoun that recognizes that individual church. I don't think it just means that individual church. I think it means every individual member of the church. I think it means ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. I believe that the Lord tonight knows me, and he knows you, and he knows us in love, but he knows all about us. No need trying to hide tonight from the Lord. He already knows all about us. Sometimes we're feeling down and we don't want anybody else to see it. Listen, he sees it. Sometimes we're full of doubt. We want to act like we're not. We're all full of faith and trusting, but he sees it. It's no need to play games tonight. It's no need to play with your brethren, but you won't play with him. You might fool the brethren, but you will not fool him with whom you have to do. The eyes of the Lord, he says in the Old Testament, are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He also tells us that the Lord is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. And there's no hiding from him with whom we have to do. In other words, we got to deal with him. I'm so thankful that we have to deal with him. I'm so thankful he didn't just let me run my own course and run my own way. I'm thankful he loved me enough to arrest me by his grace. I'm thankful that he's led me in a path I would have never come. You would have never been here if God hadn't reached down in your life and touched you. You wouldn't have had a desire to be here. You wouldn't have had the wisdom to be here. You wouldn't care about his word. You wouldn't care about the dear brethren in this church. But I believe you love one another because he touched your heart and gave you love. I believe you love him because he's given you that grace to do it. And I believe you know that he's a Savior. And you can say what he said in Psalm 62. Go home and read it. You can say that along with the Lord because of what he did first for you. So many in the world today think the Lord can't do anything for you until you allow him or let him. I'm telling you what, the Lord didn't have any trouble knocking our door down and coming in where we would have never let him. He is not a weak, feeble God in any aspect. He's talking to a church here, and he commends, he says this, I know thy works. He says, He says, I know thy works. He says that thou art neither hot, cold nor hot. And I would that thou wert cold or hot. I think this describes the condition of so many of us from time to time. So many at times of the Lord's churches. Sometimes it invades us and invades us individually in our lives where we're neither cold nor hot. Just in a nutshell and very quickly, being neither cold and hot means that we're kind of just neutral about everything. We're not really warm about our services. We're not anticipating getting there. We're not anxious about getting there. We're not really concerned as we ought to be about the understanding and learning more in God's Word. We've gotten a little lax in our prayer life. We usually don't see this coming on, but it happens just a little bit and a little bit when we start getting so busy and we start taking care of this and we're taking care of that and we start prioritizing things and getting things out of shape and out of priority, and we forget what is the most important fellowship we have in this world. And I'll tell you in a nutshell what that is. That's between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's more important than your relationship with your husband or your wife. It's more important than your love for your children or your grandchildren. It's more important than your love for the brethren in the church. The most important thing that we have in our lives is to love the Lord with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind. And then in turn, what will happen is you'll love your husband better than you ever could have loved him on your own. You'll love your wife better than you ever would have loved her on your own. He'll give you the love and the direction. To love him is to keep his commandments. And when God's little children keep his commandments, boy, it's a happy place. You want to see a happy church? You find a church that's listening to the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to find a happy home? You find a home that's listening to the Lord Jesus Christ. You find a home that the membership and the individuals in that home, or a church in that home, or a church in the individuals in that church, are loving the Lord first where he is the first love. Earlier we read about a church that left their first love. It's a dangerous thing when we leave our first love. Because then we don't remember where my strength comes from, where my help comes from, and what my duty and responsibility is first. And we become not hot about the things of the... Oh, we're warm. It's good to go to church. But, you know, here we go one more time. Good to sing these hymns, but you know it's the same hymn we sang last Sunday. It's good to be back, but it's a Sunday night. You know, it's not a special meeting. It's just one of the meetings. I said to you, it ought to be, shouldn't it? Every meeting be a special meeting. Somebody said to me a long time ago, you old Baptists don't have any special singing. I thought to myself, no. We don't have what's called special singing by the world, but I believe this. Every song we sing is special singing. I believe every time one of the little members from their heart pick out a song that means something to them, and then we get together and join together and sing that song, when it's done in praise and honor and glory to the Lord, you know what? The Lord is pleased with that. And if it's the Lord is pleased with that, I think that's special singing. Don't you? And it's not special because we're special. It's special because He is special. And every song we sing is to be sung to His honor and to His praise and to His glory. That makes every song we sing important. Makes every prayer that's offered important. It makes every sermon that's preached important. It makes every neck I get to hug important. It makes every bit of the fellowship that we have, every word of encouragement, every time we can tell a little brother or sister, hang in there, the Lord's with you. He'll take care of you. You're into trouble, yes, but you're not alone. He's there for you in the midst of the storm and in the battle. And one day He's going to come and take care of everything that you need to take care of. Y'all believe that tonight, right? Is that special to you? And it ought to be. Sometimes it's not hot. Oh, isn't it good to have a good hot meeting? Isn't it good to be in a meeting where you really feel the preaching? Isn't it good to feel the tears run down your face? Isn't it good to feel a smile come across your face? Isn't it good to feel your heart being warmed? Isn't it good to feel the Lord Jesus Christ come right where you are and hug you and hold you and feel His presence? And isn't it a sad thing when we go through the motions and we just can't feel it? It isn't because He's not there at the door knocking. Because He said, behold, I am at the door. Behold, I stand at the door. And that's not just at the door of this church. It's the door of a fellowship that we have as a little child of God that you not only have on Sunday night or Sunday morning when you meet, but when you go to the job on Monday morning, or when you're faced with the doctor's report on a Monday night when you're taking an MRI, it's where you say, is the Lord, I know He was with us last night at church, but will He be with me when I go through that MRI? Will He be with me when the doctor's report comes back? And if it's good, I can thank Him and say, thank you, Lord, for giving me such a good report. And that's what we pray for. But if it comes back in my natural mind and it sounds like it's not so good, what do I do then? I'm going to tell you what. Jesus is still at that door. And the help you need is in Him. And the strength you need is in Him. And the healing you need is in Him. And all that you need is in Him. And He stands at the door and knocks of the it's not the dead alien sinner's heart where he's trying to get in and get the sinner to respond. It's a little child of grace, even in this case, a member of the Lord's church, that he stands there and says, behold, you're lukewarm, you need a hot, you're not cold to the things of the world, you're not hot to the things of God, you're in a lukewarm condition, and because you're in that condition, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth, not meaning cut off eternally, but it means you lose fellowship with Him. How much does your fellowship with Him mean to you? If you could say in your heart tonight, well, I can do okay without it, you're in their condition. Because see, they had lost fellowship with Him, and in their own estimation, this old church, in their own estimation, was doing it just right. When they looked at themselves, they thought, I've got all that we need as a church. And they probably were looked upon by others as having everything that they needed as a church. But I'm telling what they missed. They may have been meeting and singing. They may have been meeting and talking about the scripture. They may have been meeting and offering prayer. But I'm telling you, it would have been as cold as ice water. It would have been, it's really, they weren't cold to the things of the world, and they weren't hot to the things of God. They were lukewarm. And they had lost fellowship. He says, I know thy works, that there are neither cold nor hot. And I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, listen to what they said about themselves. Let us be careful when we ever feel like, well, we're just a special little bunch down here on 202 Church Street. I believe it's a special place. I thank God for what he's given us here and what I've enjoyed over the years. I thank God because I know what he's done, and I've seen the hearts of God's little children rejoice in this place. But I know this, every good thing we have ever enjoyed, every meeting that's been good, every time our hearts have been warmed, every song that's been wonderful to sing has come to us because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us, and all the glory and the honor and the praise belongs unto the Lord. He says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not, they lack knowledge. And this lesson is for us as well, to beware that we don't fall into that place. Again, it doesn't happen overnight. It happens when we start neglecting the things of God. It happens as we start neglecting our reading of the Word. It happens when we start neglecting our prayer in our prayer life. And it's usually from the attacks of the world and from the things of the world coming in, and we feel like, well, I gotta get this done, I gotta get that done, I've gotta get some other thing done, I've gotta go this way, and we just feel like, well, I can't do everything, so what do we do? Brethren, let us first seek what? The kingdom of God and what? His righteousness and everything that you need. He says, all these things shall be added unto you. The next thing you know, we can get so cold that we don't even realize how much we're missing. He says, because thou sayest I'm enriched, and he goes on and he says, verse 18, he says, and let me get the rest of 17. He says, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. What that is saying to you and me tonight is without the Lord Jesus Christ, we are wretched and we're miserable. That means pitiable and blind and naked. We don't have what we need. That's what the hymn writer was writing about. He says, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. And Jesus alone. And he goes on and he says, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire. That's where he's telling us to buy the truth and sell it not. That's when he tells us to come to the waters. If anyone that's thirsty, you come, Isaiah 55, and drink and buy money, but without money and without price. It's talking about enjoying the sweet word of God where we get understanding and instruction and wisdom. He says, by the truth and also wisdom and understanding and instruction, it comes from the Word of God. He said, and Jesus is the one who gives us that. And he says, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. He tells us to have what in the armor of God? Put on the whole armor of God. We're to have what? Our loins girded about with what? The truth. By the truth. Sell it not. And then we're to wear what? The breastplate of righteousness, which is not our righteousness, which is filthy rags, but the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to trust in him. He says, you're trusting in yourselves for your goodness. And I said to you that you counsel of me, and I'd give you white raiment. That's what you feel when you feel clothed in the blood of Jesus. Do you feel forgiven tonight? you feel you're good enough to be here, then you're not trusting in the blood of Jesus. But if you realize I'm unworthy to be even called thy son, but he said, come home. And when I came home, he put on the shoes on my feet, and he put the ring on my finger, and he said, kill the fatted calf. My son, which was out and gone, has come home. He was dead, but now he's alive. He'd come home to enjoy the blessings of the Father's house. We can miss those blessings when we take it for granted. We slip out in the world. The next thing you know, we're out there wondering, how did I get so hungry? Where I would have eaten with the hogs because I'm so hungry. But no man would even give to me then. He says that he'd give us white raiment. He said also, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And then he says, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Do you see here he's telling us that the Lord is the truth? He's that gold tried in the fire. And then he tells us that the Lord is our righteousness. He's the one who gives us the wisdom and instruction we need, but he's also our righteousness. And then he comes and tells us how that when we're in the dark, and that's where we are, he's our light. You want to have light? I'm telling you what, he anoints our eyes with our salve so that we may see. The world look dark to you tonight? Sometimes it does, doesn't it? Well, I tell you, when we look to the Lord, all we can see is the light of the world. He's the light of the world. And when we see the light of the world and walk in it, and he anoints our eyes with our salve, you as a little child of God who's believing in Jesus and trusting in Jesus, you become the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You have an influence on your family and on your loved ones, on those that are around you. And brethren, when a church doesn't do that, we have lost our identity. May the Lord help us to shine a light by our living in a way that would give honor and glory unto the Lord. And that is to listen to his commandments and follow him, not out of some getting merit out of it, but because of his goodness and his mercy shown toward us. I'm about to my text. I'm way over time. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Who is he talking to here? Those he loves, right? What he says. And he says this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Where's Jesus? Where does the verse say Jesus is? Where will he be tomorrow? In the way of fellowship with us, where's Jesus? Where will he be tomorrow? He says, behold, what? I stand at the door. And if we listen with an ear of faith that he gives us, not to the dead-eyed sinner who can't hear him or know him, it's to the little child of grace who needs communion with him. Do you need communion with him? I need him tonight, but I'm going to need him tomorrow. I'm going to need him all day. I'm going to need him. I need thee every hour. Every hour. I need to talk with him. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice, you see, he's speaking to us, but sometimes we don't hear the still small voice because the world is crowding it out. Sometimes we're not listening. We're not operating in faith. He says, I stand at the door and knock. That's where he is. That's a fact. That's what he said. And he says, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, this isn't how you get life. It's how the little child of God enjoys fellowship. And he says, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. I believe that can happen in a church meeting, but I believe it can happen anywhere in our lives. I will sup with him and he with me. And he says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. How do we overcome? By the faith that God has given us. Where do we get that from? For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And that work of grace that's done in our hearts, That work that's done by the Lord Jesus Christ, when we operate in the Spirit, what did he say? Walk in the Spirit and what? You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. May the Lord bless us to have communion with him, fellowship with him, sweet fellowship with him, not only while we meet here in our meetings. Lord, please bless us with that. But as we go out the door and live in this world, may we walk with him, talk with him, and may we hear him tell us that we are his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, listen, that's every day, isn't it? That's fellowship every day. None other has ever known. That's to sit down with him in his throne, even as also I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. That's in the way of fellowship. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Every letter written in here is written to every single church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and really to the membership, to those of God's little children. May the Lord bless us, not only to read it and be hearers of the word, but James says not just being a hearer, but being a what? A doer. And a doer to the glory, and the honor, the praise of the Lord. I appreciate your kind attention tonight. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God.